If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Not a buzzword, but cannabidiol, we use that as a buzzword. That is a big deal. And we've got the founder and the owner.
This is the Sports Psychology Hour with Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
I cannot express the gratitude what my son came and visited you.
Dr. Jacobs has been in practice for 37 years as a sports psychologist.
I have seen a change in youth sports in the last 10, 15 years. I've talked about it a lot on this show.
The Sports Psychology Hour. The best advice on the radio each and every week.
Failure and losing and screwing up is something that happens in life. It happens in sports. And I think we have to teach kids how to do that more effectively.
This is where sports talk gets real.
That word playing, it's gone from our society in a lot of ways with kids.
And now here's your host, Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Welcome to the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm here every week as we talk about your mind, sports psychology, mental gymnastics, how your mind plays a role with your life, especially if you're an athlete, if you're a coach, you're a fan, you're an official. I've been here for the last 18 years. I'm in my 28th year of radio in the Kansas City area, and our show is now being broadcast in a number of cities around the country, I'm proud to say. I've been a sports psychologist in my 39th year of work. And I love what I do because I get to work with all kinds of interesting people and help them accomplish their goals, help them try to figure out what they need to do to be the best they can be. And this show, which is podcasted on my website, winnersunlimited.com, it's also podcasted here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. We talk about different topics each week. I try to bring up something that I think will be of interest to our listeners. And today we're going to have an interview with a gentleman I've known for a little bit over a year now. We're going to bring him on with us in a few minutes. His name is Murphy Grant. He's the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Sports Performance and Healthcare Administration, Wake Forest University. He's also the National Athletic Trainers Association Intercollegiate Council for Sports Medicine Chair. So in other words, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to sports injuries and sports performance. I met Murphy a year ago when he worked in that similar capacity at the University of Kansas. He is an incredibly intelligent and talented individual who gets the world of sports. And he has worked with an incredibly large number of very prominent athletes throughout his career. We're going to bring him on in a few minutes to talk about the topic today. Because our topic today is going to be this: kids' sports participation. There's an article in the New York Times this past week. Parents should limit sports participation for children, trainers say. I'm going to read a little bit of the article here, and then we're going to get into discussion, bring Murphy in towards the end of our first segment here. Too many children are risking injuries, even lifelong health problems, because they practice too intensively in a single sport, and parents should set limits on their participation, according to the study. The new recommendations from the National Athletic Trainers Association urge parents to ensure that children and adolescents postpone, specializing in one sport for as long as possible, that they take at least 2 days off each week for rest, that they not play a single sport for more than 8 months a year. The recommendations, more stringent than those issued by physicians' groups, may be a challenge for some parents and kids who see intense year-round athletic training as the path to scholarships and professional stardom. And this advice comes from a concern that's been growing dramatically lately about a rise in athletic injuries among kids engaging in really tough training. And this can have a psychological toll, increase the risk for injuries and burnout. And this study suggests basically several things. Six recommendations. That you delay specializing in a single sport for as long as possible. Play one team at a time. Just one organized sport per season. Youngsters should not play a single sport more than 8 months a year. Take breaks. They should not take part in organized sports activities for more hours per week than their age. For example, a 12-year-old athlete should not participate more than 12 hours in a sport. Young athletes should take a minimum of 2 days off per week from organized training and competition for rest and recovery. And they should spend time away from organized sport and activity at the end of each competitive season. These breaks will allow them to recover physically and mentally. And ironically, this study comes out, this article comes out, and I have a mom call me this week who had worked with me with her daughter, who's a gymnast, and they had moved up to the Minneapolis area. Wonderful family, great parents, really, really great young lady. She's now 16, and a year ago she had to have ankle surgery, and then she was unable to compete for a while, and then they moved to Minneapolis, and she had to get the ankle operated on a second time. And she's basically been out of competition for 2 years. And her mom called and said, Dr. J, she needs to talk to you again. So in talking to her the other day, and she's a very bright, very talented young lady, really like her a lot, she says, Dr. Jacobs, I don't know if I want to do it anymore. I mean, I've been hurt for 2 years. I can't really train. I've been doing gymnastics since I was three. Part of me wants to quit. But there's a part of her also that doesn't want to quit because she wants to spend a year at this new team and give herself an opportunity to see how she can do. So she's going to get healthy, which she's about to recover. And she's going to spend the season training. And she said, you know, at the end of the year, I'll decide if I really want to go on or not. And I think it's a good decision. So let's bring in Murphy Grant. I've known Murphy for, like I said, over a year. He is an extremely intelligent individual and gets this. So Murphy, thanks for joining me this morning. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
Good morning to you, Dr. Jacobs, and thank you for having me.
You know, you have extensive experience as an athletic trainer, working with athletes in all sports. You have worked with, I don't even know how many professional athletes. When you hear the results of this, that this article said about this study, give us your impact, your input, what you feel.
You know, it isn't surprising at all. You know, many sports medicine professionals, whether it's athletic training and physicians, you know, definitely understand and acknowledge that the sports specialization is an evolving healthcare issue, you know, definitely in this adolescent and young student athlete. We're seeing it all of the time at the collegiate level. And you know what, there's a lot of supporting evidence that sports specialization and overuse injuries are definitely on the rise with our young athletes. But not only from the physical and mental aspect of sports specialization, but a psychosocial aspect as well. You know, these are some things that, just as you spoke of with your young gymnast, that we need to be concerned of as well.
Let me ask you this question. I have, as you know, been doing this a long time. I'm one of the first trained sports psychologists in the country. I've seen a change, in my opinion, in youth sports participation, and it's, in my opinion, it's getting worse in the sense that the pressure on kids is getting stronger. Do you agree with that?
I do. You know, I think, in my opinion, there's just a lot of things invested in the young athlete with the extra training and the personal training and, you know, everything that's going to maybe help them get to the next level. And that's a lot of pressure. You know, I know you mentioned something about 12 hours per week if you're 12 years old. You know, at the collegiate level, there's certain times of the year that our student athletes only get 8 hours in a week. And during their competitive season, it's 20 hours. But again, when you can go from a competitive season to a non-competitive season, the hours dramatically change on the amount of time we even want them participating in their sport.
Right. I'm speaking this morning with Murphy Grant. He's one of the top athletic trainers in the country, and he's the chair of the National Athletic Trainers Association. We're talking about an article in the New York Times about kids' sports participation. If you'd like to join us, have questions, if you're a parent, you're a coach, how often should kids be playing? Our number is 913-3810-810. Good morning, everybody. I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm here every week, and we talk about your mind, your attitude, and sports psychology on the show. And joining me today, I'm very fortunate to have Murphy Grant with us. He's the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Sports Performance and Healthcare at Wake Forest University. He's also the chairman of the National Athletic Trainers Association Intercollegiate Council for Sports Medicine. And he knows what he's talking about, which is why I'm having him on. We're talking about an article in the New York Times that just came out last week stating that parents should limit sports participation for kids. And, you know, Murphy, you and I have known each other for over a year. You get it. You understand it. You've worked with athletes at all levels, including some very, very prominent professional athletes. Are you seeing a change in youth sports today? I think money has played a big role in this. There are all these people making money on youth sports with tournaments and awards and uniforms and everything. I mean, do you see that as part of the problem?
You know, I think it's a little bit of the problem. I think that a lot of the studies, if you look at it, that individuals, maybe if it's the parents that see that specializing in some sports is maybe a prerequisite for advancing, you know, making the varsity team, earning a college scholarship, maybe even progressing to the professional level, you know, again, which that's money when you talk about college scholarships and playing at the professional level. So is it a prerequisite, you know, to get your son or daughter there? I know that as parents, we want our children to be very successful, but specializing in sport, the way to go.
You know, this past week, my producers and I were looking at some stats on our show, and I was shocked to find out that in the last 12 months, 51,000 people have listened to the podcast of this show. So we're getting a lot of people. And in fact, Dublin, Ireland is the second most popular city of people listening to this show. So we know that, you know, kids play sports all over the world. And we know that the increase in obesity in kids is there. It's a problem, too. So how do we balance this out, Murphy? From your experience and your background, what do you feel the best way for parents to get their kids involved in sports is? How much should they do? And, you know, I've known people before who've had kids playing three sports in a season, which I've advised them to not do, because one time years ago, my younger son Gregor is at soccer practice, and this mom showed up late with her son, and the coach was pretty irritated about it. They were 11-year-old kids, because the kid was late. And she says, well, we're late because we came from his tennis lesson, but we have to leave her early to go to his swim practice. And she and I sat down and talked about it, and I said, I think you need to cut one of these out. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, to kind of follow up on both of those, you know, I believe that sports specialization and just doing one sport, there's a definite detriment there. And so playing in multiple sports is something that we're really wanting to say can make these individuals probably less likely to have some of the injuries that we're seeing from the students or the young athletes that's only participating in one sport. Again, I believe that, you know, when these young individuals are growing up, that's what they just need to be doing, you know, living their lives as a preteen, a teenager, running around the neighborhood, That makes them pretty athletic as well.
So but they don't. They don't. Have, so from, what you're saying? Excuse me. But so what you're saying? They don't have to be in some organized activity all the time. They can just be out playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're missing a lot of, are these young athletes that are just playing around in a neighborhood. There's so much athletic ability that is gained by running around, stopping and starting, falling on the ground, getting back up. That's what you see every day in sports. But it doesn't have to be coached. It could be something that is done and learned naturally just by doing that.
You know, when I grew up, and I'm going to be 65 years old in a couple of months, we would, I was playing different sports, but we would spend a lot of time in our neighborhood running around playing, going up to the grade school. There was a creek a couple blocks away we used to go catch crawdads in all the time. You don't see kids out playing like that anymore. Now, I know there are safety issues today that a lot of people were very concerned about that were probably not as prominent back when I was growing up. But nonetheless, still, when's the last time, Murphy, you drove by a grade school and saw a bunch of kids out playing, just playing, without being in an organized sports practice?
Only during the when it's warm outside and it's called recess.
Yeah, so okay. You have been an athletic trainer for a long time. You've been at Oklahoma State. You've been at the University of Kansas. Now you're at Wake Forest. You've worked with a lot of very prominent athletes. What, you know, parent? So here's one of the questions a lot of parents ask me. Doc, what do you think it's going to take for my child to make it to the top? Okay, so I want to ask you that question. What are the characteristics, qualities, abilities that allow an athlete to get to the top of their profession and maybe even get to a professional level?
Well, one, you have to be skilled for one. But there are a lot of really, really good athletes in this country, you know, and I talk about this quite often with individuals. There are how many high schools in the state of Kansas, let's just say, or if you think about it nationally, how many you go from the number of high schools to the number of colleges. Then you want to talk about some big-time sports in the 65. There's only 65 schools. Then you look at how many NFL teams are out there or how many Major League Baseball teams. That number continues to get smaller and smaller. When you look at a Division I football roster, you have 105 to 110 athletes on there. You go to the professional level, you only have 53 on the roster.
You're talking about football.
Football, yes. So the number just continues to get less and less the higher you go. So one, you have to have, yes, the dedication in the sport. You have to be very skilled to be able to do it. But if you look at some of the information out there on the athletes who were probably the top, the 90% of the top draft picks in the NFL in 2018 were multi-sport athletes. They just weren't football players. So when it comes to the whole specialization thing and making it to the next level, you want athletic individuals, not just a very good football player, a baseball player. You want athletic individuals. That's those things help the athlete make it to the next level.
Okay, so the other side of the coin is this increased rate of child obesity that's becoming worse and worse now, which I want to talk to you about after we come back from our break, because one of the issues that I'm seeing now are a lot of studies that are coming out that are talking about the importance of exercise and fitness for kids to get involved, because a lot of them are spending time in front of their devices all the time. So when we come back from our break here, I want to get into that with you, because you know, there's got to be this balance. When do you say no to kids doing too much, and when do you push them to do a lot? I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My guest today is Murphy Grant. He is an athletic trainer. He's the chairman of the National Athletic Trainers Association for Intercollegiate Council for Sports Medicine. He's also a senior athletic director at Wake Forest University. We're talking about kids' sports and a study that came out in the New York Times about parents should limit their kids' participation in sports. And if you'd like to join us, give us a call. If you're a parent, you're a coach, you're an athlete, how much time should you play your sport? Our number is 913-3810-810. Hello again, everyone. I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Hope you're having a wonderful morning today as you join us on our show. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. And joining me today is Murphy Grant. He's the Senior Associate Athletic Director for Sports Performance and Healthcare Administration, Wake Forest University. And he's also the Sports Medicine Chair for the National Athletic Trainers Association. And, you know, he understands the world of sports. He understands what's going on. And we're talking about this article that came out in the New York Times about parents should limit sports participation for their kids. So, Murphy, let's talk about, you know, as we were going into our commercial break there, the whole issue, okay, childhood obesity. It is on the rise, yet we're also seeing all these people saying they need to not play too many sports at the same time. We're seeing these, you know, almost opposite issues going on. So let's talk about the issue of childhood obesity. Why do you think that is on the rise as well?
You know, there could be a couple of different things. One, are the devices, you know, that being in front of the phones and the laptops and the tablets, even the television, definitely produces a more sedentary individual. When the young folk needs to be out and moving, so that is one reason. You know, it could be, again, that where are there just true recreational sports? Where are the sports where the young son or daughter could just go out and, again, participate without it being highly competitive? I believe that there's a level for every single type of athlete, but if we can get those individuals out there being active, and active being the primary word there, then maybe we could reduce that number.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from, if you're a parent, you're a coach, you have a question or comment on what we're talking about today. Our number is 913-3810-810. Murphy is one of the experts. He's one of the top athletic trainers in the country. He's worked with athletes at all levels of sport. He also has two very successful sons who play sports. And let's talk about your sons for a second. They're both in high school now. When did they start specializing? When did you feel it was good for them to start doing that?
With my older son, it wasn't until he got into high school. You know, again, we wanted to delay that, but that doesn't mean he's not participating in all the other sports. You know, runs around every single weekend, playing football with his friends, definitely shooting hoops during before school, even after school, after he's done with his training. And then my younger son, who does the martial arts, that's all he's doing is participating in every other sport until he has to begin his training sessions as well.
So as parents, when did you tell them you thought it was good to start doing their own sport, just the one they're in there?
You know, and we didn't tell them, either one of them.
That's why I asked you that question. I wanted to see what you'd say.
Yeah, at all. You know, it was more of their decision once they, again, started to be successful in it, that they felt that it was time for themselves to, again, look forward to where they wanted to go. Well, it wasn't a decision from us.
Let's go to the phones. Let's see what Leanne has to say. Good morning, Leanne. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
You have a question for us?
Yeah, and kind of a comment, too. I mean, I'm just right in line with exactly what both of you guys are saying. My boys are only 5 and 7, and we've done very little organized sports just with the city or whatnot. And they are just constantly outside playing, and they're both very naturally athletic. And just right now, my 7-year-old is, I think, going to be a really good soccer player, and he's just now expressed some interest in trying to do soccer. So we're just kind of letting them guide the way, but you know, we just turn them outside and turn them loose and let them play, and the neighborhood kids all play together, and they've become athletes just because of that. And I know my kids are some of the only kids in our neighborhood that are outside playing, and I know you guys commented on that earlier, how when do you just see kids playing? And we just feel really thankful that we're in a good place where we can turn them out and let them play. And I'm excited to see, like, their natural athletic ability come out as they get a little bit older, and I'm going to let them lead the way. So that's all I had to say.
Well, I love your comment. You said just let them out and just let them play. That's the name of my book, Just Let Them Play, that I co-authored with Jeff Montgomery and Pete Malone. So, I mean, before I let you go, Leanne Murphy, comment on what she just said there, because I think it's great to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for sharing that story. It is great to hear that there's still just the young kids out there running around and playing. And you said they will learn some natural ability. Again, to be able to just run and jump and cut and have just pure joy in doing what they want to do is very special.
So they're what?
Time for them to gain the skill.
Kindergarten and what are they? Kindergarten, first grade? What are they?
Pre-K and first grade. Yep, we'll be kindergartner and second grade next year. And they're definitely the most athletic kids. You know, if they get in a group, they're the most athletic kids around. And, I mean, I think one kid did basketball once and one kid did soccer once, and that's about it, you know. So it's all just playing in the yard except for that. So
let me ask you a question, Leanne. Has there been any pressure to sign up for any teams? Have you had other parents or coaches saying, hey, we're starting
no,
a team?
I don't think so. I mean, I do see a lot of our other neighborhood kids and grade school kids, you know, involved in 1, 2, 3 sports. And at this age, like 7-year-olds, you know, already doing at least 1, if not 2 or 3 sports, at least what I see on social media every year. And it does seem like a lot to me, but we're not getting any pressure. You know, people ask, oh, is he in whatever sport? And we're like, well, you know, not yet, but he's kind of interested. So it does seem like there's a lot of kids that are super involved. And as a 7-year-old, I'm like, seems a little excessive to me, but but no, we're not getting any pressure from anyone.
Well, that's good to hear. I listen, Murphy, you agree? I think she's got a great perspective with this.
Yeah, absolutely, and continue with that. they have time to grow, for sure.
Yeah, well, Leanne, listen, thank you so much for calling and sharing that, and good luck with your kids. I think it sounds like you got a great idea in terms of how you're raising them.
They're a good bunch, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, enjoy them now, because believe me, my sons are almost 30 and 28, and they were that age, seems like last week, so it'll happen fast. Okay,
well, thank you.
Take care. Thanks for calling. Okay. That frees up our lines here at 913-381-0810, 913-381-0810. If you'd like to call in, if you're a parent or coach, I'm talking with Murphy Grant, Senior Athletic Director at Wake Forest University. He's one of the top athletic trainers in the country. And so that was great, Murphy. That was great to hear that, because I don't hear that very much anymore. Do you?
Yeah, no, not at all. And I was going to say the same thing. I really appreciated that she took the time and to say that. It is so important for the young individual, regardless if you're in sports or not, to just to be out, be able to run outside and enjoy this time. And she said that they were happy. They were happy, and they were just gaining natural athletic ability, which is good. You know, there's so much that needs to go on just from a growth standpoint, a body positioning standpoint, being able to know where your body's at with regards to movement. And that's something that we often say, that, you know, those individuals who do specialize in sport have a greater risk of injury because their body's doing the same thing over and over and over. Those athletes that are in multiple sports and multiple activities, it teaches them how to just be athletic. And it really takes a really good athlete to continue to move on.
Okay, from your perspective, and we'll in our last segment we're going to get into this. Why do you think parents feel this pressure to have their kids do all this? I want to get into that with you, because it seems like I get this a lot. Well, they've got to do this to get a college scholarship, and they've got to specialize now, and they have to really just do one thing. And the research is showing the opposite. But I want to get your opinion on that when we come back from our break. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I'm talking to Murphy Grant, one of the top athletic trainers in the country. He's an athletic director at Wake Forest University. He understands this whole issue of kids' participation in sports, and we're commenting on an article in the New York Times talking about parents should limit their kids' participation in sports. And if you'd like to join us, our number is 913-3810-810. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm here every week as we talk about the mental side of sports in this show. And today I'm talking about, I'm talking about kids' sports. And if you've listened to the show, you know that's one of my passions, the whole world of youth sports and the pressures on kids today to play and compete and win. And look, I do not like to lose in anything I do. Believe me, I've lost a lot and failed a lot. It's part of life. Youth sports is a great opportunity for kids to grow, learn, have fun. I mentioned our book, Just Let Them Play. I co-author with Jeff Montgomery and Pete Malone. Our third chapter is called Embracing Failure Can Lead to Fun. Because you got to learn how to fail. And if you teach kids, I think, and I'll get Murphy to comment on this in a second, I think if you teach kids that failure is okay, it's part of what you do, not to be scared of it and afraid of it, but to learn from it, it won't become an issue as they get older. Murphy, what do you think about that?
I agree. I utilize the same words. You know, to fail isn't a bad thing. You know, if you continue to fail at the same thing over and over, now we need to go back and reevaluate what is going on. But it should be used as a learning experience for growth. And growth comes many different ways, not only physically but mentally as well.
Okay. We had a caller. He didn't want to come on the air. My producer, Josh, wants to chime in here. Josh, tell us what this gentleman said.
It was about a 70-year-old gentleman. He said back in his day that he used to play outside all the time, and nowadays he doesn't hardly see any kids playing outside. Says there's a lot of bad people out there and that we need to, you know, clean up the streets a little bit, I guess.
And you said he was about to get in his mountain bike and go on a ride.
Rides his mountain bike every morning. I didn't get the gentleman's name, though, so.
Does he bring a broom with him, or what is it, to clean it?
I don't know. He's got a...
That's an interesting... Go ahead.
I understand what he's saying, you know, that there is a lot of trust lost in our communities and in our neighborhoods, that, you know, there's a lot of parents that are afraid to have their sons and daughters out there because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and that's very valid. It is an issue, and he's right. It is an issue. And so I know, like, especially when I grew up, I'm older than you, but that was not a problem. I mean, we'd go out my summertime, we'd go up to the grade school, and which is three houses up the street, and play up there, or we'd go catch crawdads in the creek a couple blocks away, or we'd play basketball in my driveway. You know, we'd come in and get something to eat for lunch, and then we'd maybe get a drink in the afternoon. We'd be out all day. That was not an issue. Today it is an issue. It definitely is a problem. And this whole issue of getting kids involved in organized activities at young ages, Murphy, let's talk about these recommendations that have been made. Number one, delay. I'm going to read each one, and then you comment on it. Number one, delay specializing in a single sport for as long as possible.
Yeah, you know, and again, what it says is one particular sport. You know, putting them in sport is really good for them. We talked about running around outside, you know, even the occasional recreational sport and not a high level. But as long as they're doing multiple things, what you want is just some general physical fitness and athleticism. These are the things that will reduce injury, keep it fun. Hopefully they're learning, but not doing one sport all year round is what we mean by delaying the specialization.
You know, back in the 80s when I was the first sports psychologist at the University of Kansas, where you've also worked, I had the privilege to work with Larry Brown, the basketball coach. And there are a number of things Larry said to me that have stuck with me. The one thing that made the most sense of everything he ever said was, we're talking about kids playing sports. He said, you know, kids at a young age should play a team sport and an individual sport. And he said individual sports teach them about self-confidence and fending for themselves, and team sports teach them about sharing. They should do them both, and do them both at the same time because it enhances both. What do you think about that?
Again, it's something that I definitely agree with. And as a parent, what we try to teach our kids, you know, to play a team sport and have to, let's say, have another teammate's back and help support them, and hopefully they will support you as well, that builds camaraderie. And one, it teaches you to be a selfless student athlete. But doing the single sports and the one that is individualized, again, does build the confidence. But you have to be a team player. There's few people that get to the top by themselves. It takes a team around them, one being the parents, to help support them, to help achieve any goal, what it may be, growing up.
Right. Let's go to the second recommendation, one team at a time.
Yeah, so when you think about that, I think you made the comment about one of the parents and, you know, going from one sport and they're getting out late and then they're having to go across town to get to another sport and they still have schoolwork to do.
Oh, right. Yeah, there is that homework issue too, right? Okay.
Yeah, because they are growing and they have school. So, again, if there's a way to just keep it to one team or one sport at a time, that is ideal. But again, you may be in a competitive season with one, and then the other coaches may want a little bit of time as well.
Okay, the next one says
not bold well.
Sorry, the next one says youngsters should not play a single sport more than 8 months per year. Breaks in training give overstressed tissues time to recover.
Yeah, absolutely. 8 months out of a year, that is just a long time. That gives you 4 months to, like you said, try to recover, to try to, again, clear the mind to get back into it. 8 months is just a really, really long time for a young athlete.
They should not take part in organized sports activities for more hours per week than their age. For example, a 12-year-old athlete should not participate in more than 12 hours per week of organized sport.
Yeah, again, that's a lot of time. What is the rest of your time going to be? You know, at this young age, we're even trying to stress 8-plus hours of sleep. There's only 24 hours in a day. We know that there's so many other things that are going on in life that, again, at 12 years old, that is the optimal time. You know, I mentioned earlier about our time commitment for the collegiate athlete in the non-competitive season is only 8 hours, and that's far less than what we're saying for the 12-year-old.
Exactly. Young athletes should take a minimum of 2 days off per week from organized training and competition for rest and recovery.
Yeah, which is so important. You know, we've, over the past 5-6 years, we've really stressed the entire rest and recovery aspect of sport. If to play at a high level tomorrow, you have to get your rest today. So the recovery part is something that is very, very key. And at this young age, their bodies are still developing and growing, so it's important that they pull down days from the intense training.
And the last one, the last suggestion is youngsters should spend time away from organized sports and activities at the end of each competitive season. That'll allow them for physical and mental recovery and minimize injuries and burnout.
Yeah, you know, right there, you know, I think that's one key piece as well, you know, to just get away from it. You know, if for those individuals who are playing high-level sport, it's just that. It's very high level. We see that at the professional level, at the collegiate level, at the very super successful high school level, being able to get away from the sport for some time actually gives that drive for that athlete to get back at it. But you have to let them get away from it as well. You just have to have a fresh mind when it comes back to getting back into the activity.
Real quick, we've got about a minute left here. Give me your definition of winning and your definition of losing.
that's tough. You know, again, I think about just being successful and being happy. And yes, there has to be some positive attributes to what it is that you're doing, and then you're winning. So, you know, winning, that's tough. I like using the term success more than anything. We talked about failures. If you lose a game, hopefully you learned what it is that went on through that competition or that activity that caused you to lose. Sometimes there's just a team that's better than you.
And that's losing, not just sport, that's life. That's just the way it is.
That's life.
Yes. Now, yeah, real quick, Murphy, people want to get a hold of you. How can they reach you?
They feel free to email me. My email address is murphyg94@gmail.com. Feel free to email me if anyone has any questions there, and I'll be happy to answer them.
Listen, my friend, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been great. I'm going to have you on again. Your advice is tremendous. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour. A lot of ways you can listen to our podcast. Go to Sports Radio 810 WHB, turn on the additional programming page. Go to my website, winnersunlimited.com, click on podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at @DRJSportsPsych, @DRJSPORTPSYCH. Send me an email at drj@winnersunlimited.com, and always call me at my office at 816-561-5556. Have a great week. From the leader in sports, Sports Radio 10, WHB.